A Surname to Honor Their Mother by Gregory Pardlow. What is it about this group, which never numbered more than a few dozen, that inspired the U.S. government at all three levels to spend hundreds of thousands of man hours and millions of dollars working toward its destruction? Richard Kent Evans. A Surname to Honor Their Mother. Homeschoolers. Raw vegan zero wasters, social justice warriors, they moved against puppy mills and flop houses, against zoos and the avarice that fuels the system. Responding to a noise complaint in 76, police quieted the Africas of MOVE with clubs, nightsticks. The infant, Life Africa, was crushed under an officer's boot. He'd been delivered at home, and the Commonwealth would neither certify the birth of life after death nor the tears of a mother named Africa. MOVE kept moving, each time, like a river. Their movement was dammed by police, an agency shamed for its failure to contain them. In 78, a riot-geared wall encircled the creaky Victorian, MOVE's headquarters, while canvas hoses fed into cellar windows where the Africans held strong, and forced them to swim for safety. Deluge upon deluge. Water. Bullets. An officer shot from behind in the melee sparked no investigation. Instead, the city erased the old house as if it were a bit of graffiti, and announced a social execution. MOVE were now cop killers. Those Africans not given life sentences repaired here to this tidy block of mother-loved homes on a street named to honor the Osage Nation. Here, where MOVE took its last stand and let the living stray indoors and out, the compound was a hive the city clawed at and swatted, passions fermenting like compost. John Africa, in the end, body F, 6th. Of 11 bags of charred remains sent to the morgue, had wrapped MOVE in the manifesto they megaphoned all hours. You can't describe something profane without using profanity. Their polemics drowned out the music of ice cream trucks. Until Mother's Day of 85, police went door to door to door, instructing moms to pack their families into overnight bags. Without so much as their arms could carry, they left behind Bibles and tax records, record collections, and Commodore 64s. They left bowling trophies, wedding knives, and archives of Jet magazine, family albums, and photos propped on credenzas and on top of their Magnavox TVs. They left wall-hung pictures of King, Kennedy, and Jesus. When, stopping to gossip and speculate, they filled the street that had been cleared as if for a block party. In 24 hours, they'd watch the city deliver its gift. The commissioner's recipe for eviction? M16s. Uzi submachine guns, sniper rifles, tear gas, approximately 10,000 rounds of 50-caliber bullets, more than 500 officers, 640,000 gallons of water, and one state police helicopter to drop 2 pounds of mining explosives combined with 2 pounds of C4 on the MOVE family compound's roof. As flames rose like orchids in a vase, the canvas hoses parched and let an infernal peace engulf the neighborhood. By sunrise, whole blocks lay open like egg cartons, buildings reduced to their earthworks. Sirens sounded their jubilee to match the mother's wailing. Timbers and rubble, like mulch piles, smoldered as smoke left shadows espaliered on walls and twined staircases aimed at the unblemished sky.